WBEN, Buffalo, New York.
Take a real, honest, hardworking man. Put a real, honest fear in his hand. A natural brew with nothing to hide. Made with three generations of beer brewing right.
You got a real, honest fear in his man. With a UC beer in his hand.
Put only the finest natural ingredients in UC, and a real beer drinker can taste the difference. Utica Club, there's nothing phony about it.
It's a real honest
to the end of the first week of the last month of our series. This is the end of the first week of the last month of a 27-year series, and my band leader, just before we started, wanted to know what was I going to open with. And if he thinks that here in the last month of the 27th year, I'm going to know, he's crazy. I haven't known for 27 years, so why should I start now? Kelly Garrett is with us today, that beautiful thing that just came out of Canada. And Richard Hayes?
Yes.
And our guest today is Frank Kingston Smith. Aviators Attention. He's the president of the National Aviation Trades Association. I wanted you, my good friends, to meet an official of one of our flying associations and find out what makes them tick. As you know, these last 27 days of our series, we're doing the songs that were popular in each of the preceding 27 years that we've been in existence here. We're back now to 1968. And one of the duets that Richard and I learned that year was called Little Green Apples. Let's open with it today and answer Jerry Alter's question and ease his ulcer.
I forgot the question.
What do you open with?
Oh.
Wake up in the morning with my hair down in my eyes, and she says, hi. And I stumble to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school, bye. Well, she reaches out and takes my hand and squeezes it and says, how you feeling, hon? And I look across at smiling lips that warm my heart, see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, then all I've got to say, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. There's no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland, Mother Goose, no nursery rhyme. God didn't make little green apples, it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. When myself is feeling low, think about her face aglow, ease my mind. Sometimes I call her up at home, knowing she is busy. And I ask her if she can get away and meet her. Maybe we can grab a bite to eat. Well, she drops what she's doing, hurries down to meet me, and I'm always late. But she sits waiting patiently, smiles when she first sees me, 'cause she's made that way. if that's not loving me, then all I've got to say, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't snow in Minneapolis when the winter comes. There's no such thing as make-believe, Papa Dolls, autumn leaves, and BB guns. God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis. God didn't make little green apples, and it don't snow in Minneapolis in the summertime.
That's the last time we'll do that one.
Oh.
But it was fun. Only I couldn't get those things to make much noise this time when they fell.
Oh, they did.
That's what I did. She drops everything she's doing.
Kitchen thing. Mindy and Apple.
Hey, somebody sent, somebody sent me a cute thing in the mail. A picture of a guy who eats prunes every day.
A picture of him?
Yeah. He eats prunes every day, and he figures that he has done it all his life. And here he is. And he's now 90 years old. His name is Albert Startzman. He lives
Startzman.
And he lives in Sun City. And he's 90 years old, and he retired at 84 from his job. And his friend said, well, you'll be dead in no time, and... Well, the friend who said that died 3 years ago. And he's now 90 and busy as a bee. And he says that he has eaten 10 cooked prunes every day for 70 years, which means he has consumed 255,000 prunes, give or take a few.
Wow. That's what I call a regular fella.
That's exactly right. That's how he did it.
Do you remember the recipe that I gave you the last time for stewed prunes with peanut butter in them? I wonder, if has anyone written to you and said, my mommy fixes that for us too?
No, but I didn't hear that, but I did get some prune cookies in the mail.
Oh, I think those
some
are good.
Delicious cookies with each cookie had a prune in it. So you got your dessert, but you also got your regularity all in the same cookie. Imagine 250,000 cookies in 70 years.
Prunes.
Well, I'm glad to have the cookies with the prunes in them. R.C. Gray, inventor of the fanaway, sent me this. The fanaway. I wonder what the fanaway is. Do you know, Frank?
No,
Of course, this guy was speaking of California prunes, which is our sponsor. California prunes are very high in vitamin A, pound for pound. They have 8 times as much as the most popular fruit, whatever that is. They're also rich in vitamin B2, thiamine, and niacin, and they're an important source of iron. And their calories are way down for their sweetness. And they're mildly laxative to most people. Their natural mineral vitamin content and soft bulk contribute to safe, gentle stimulation, which does away with the need for harsher synthetic laxatives and fire hoses. California prunes. They come in a variety of sizes and packages, small, medium, large, extra large, depending on how irregular you are. Today's prunes are softenized. It means the prunes go through a steam pressure process just before they're packed. That adds moisture. Oh, that's why they're so juicy in the box. They used to be so dry. Now they're so nice and sticky.
It's like dried fruit, you know.
Yeah, but they're not that way anymore. Since they just get through a steam pressure business. I didn't know that. And they're very high in potassium and low in sodium. And they're first class. So, you want to be shot by a jealous husband when you're 92, like I'm going to be? Get on the prunes, man. I don't eat so many prunes as I drink juice. I have a big glass of that juice every morning of my life. And it's great. It's just great. You sort of have to work things out on a schedule, you know. You don't want to be delayed anywhere, but it works.
Get caught in a crowded elevator.
No, you got to stay away from all those possibilities. Well, as we go back through the years, we're in 1968 now. 1968, we were in our 23rd year, weren't we, of this program. That was the year we lost Helen Keller, who always gave me the impression every time I was privileged to be in her presence that was as close as I could possibly ever get to deity. She was that kind of a woman, blind and deaf. She could speak, but since she had never heard a human voice, it was very difficult for her to make sounds that are normal to us. But, oh, was she brilliant. How many languages? 7 or 8. She read in Braille. She was great. She died at 87. This is the year they shot Bob Kennedy and also Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis. And let's see what else happened. Oh, this is the year in December when the astronauts Borman, Lovell, and Anders made 10 orbits around the moon. They were the first ones to circle and see the backside of the moon.
Yeah, we met them, remember? We went down to the Cape. Those are the three fellas that we met.
That's right.
In the astronauts' quarters.
Well, I got to know them all, but that particular trip, we met those three just before they took off.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's the trip, for my money, where they could have stopped that whole business. You know, once they had been up there and taken pictures of the planet Earth, that was all I needed to see what this Earth looked like.
Well, they had to go back and do it because somebody moved.
Oh, dear.
I can't think of anything that I'm dying to get a hold of more than another load of rocks from that moon. Yeah. Well, Frank Kingsford Smith?
Kingston.
I can't get that straight. Kingston, yes. And Frank does a lot of flying down in the Bahamas. You love that, don't you?
Yeah, I think the last time I heard you sing The Little Green Apples was down at the Ocean Club. A couple years ago.
Gene Barrett's beautiful place, yes, on Paradise Island.
Yeah.
That's a lovely spot, believe me. They're so close to Nassau, too. It's just across a little piece of water. You go on the ocean side of the Ocean Club, or the Britannia, or the Paradise Island Hotel, that beach on the other side, the water is so clean you can't believe it.
And you might as well be about 1,000 miles from Nassau, too.
That's right.
Really isolated. It's amazing. Right.
Is it a difficult thing for the average owner of a small plane to fly around the Bahamas?
It hadn't been for me. I just got back from my 113th trip, and I'm going down next week, so it can't be very hard.
See, that's the kind of people there are in the world. There's a guy smart enough to get a job where he can go 115 times and look at those islands and write about them.
Yeah. See, it's all business with me. I'm doing research.
Yeah.
And
see what kind of an idiot I've been? 27 years I've been flying back and forth between here and Virginia on a treadmill.
Mm. Don't forget, I practiced law for 15 years before I started to fly. And I didn't start until 1955, so I had some time to make up and catch up to you.
You didn't start to fly till 55, right?
Yes, sir. In 1955, I was given 2 years to live. I had ulcers, fibrillations, colitis, and a nervous collapse. I went out and bought an old airplane, learned how to fly. And I haven't taken a pill since.
No prunes or anything?
Well, I take a lot of prunes.
Oh, good.
We've had a series of airplanes, and I have my three sons all fly. They're all pilots.
One of them's a disc jockey, isn't he?
Yeah, right here in town on ABC, which I can't say.
Why can't you say that?
I don't know.
Is he on the American Broadcasting System?
American Broadcasting System, and he's WABC here. In fact, I heard him in the Bahamas about 10 days ago, and he's also on a contemporary network, 5 minutes every night.
Hmm.
And it's very interesting. He dropped the junior, so he's just Frank Kingston Smith, and he gets letters from all over the country which are addressed to me and saying, well, you bum, you finally got honest work.
Mm. Cute.
And he flies, too.
Oh, yeah.
What are you guys flying these days?
I have the world's oldest Apache, which is sometimes referred to as a half Aztec.
Yeah, but it's a nice little airplane.
Yeah, I
had one time. The demonstrating salesman was sitting in the right-hand seat. My co-pilot was in the back with an FAA inspector. and we were flying down to Virginia. I was testing the airplane to see if I liked it to give to the Flying Doctors of Africa.
I remember.
And over Philadelphia, I said to this guy who was the salesman in the right-hand seat, I said, what kind of single-engine performance has this thing got? And he says, oh, great. So I reached over and killed number one engine. Well, you never saw four pilots trying to get an airplane started in your life, Inspector. I never saw anything like it. We got it running, finally. I had an airport all picked out, northeast Philadelphia, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
I was just about to get on the horn and tell him, look out, man, I'm coming in there. And when we got that one going, and
when I'm back,
my co-pilot, Frank Lavina, who's been with me now 23 years, says that the gray hair he has came on that trip. But tell us about the NATA. What do you do?
NATA is a group of service operators, such as Atlantic Aviation, Page, Butler Aviation.
FBOs?
FBOs, all over the country. We have about 400 of them in an association.
Fixed base operators, FBOs we call them. Without them, we could not fly.
They're the ones that sell the airplanes and maintain them and fuel them and hangar them and teach people to fly. And it's a very important part of the business, and I feel greatly privileged to represent them in Washington. So you see, I've gone from being a Philadelphia lawyer to a Washington lobbyist, and I don't know which is worse.
Tell me this, Frank. How many, actually, do you know how many of the so-called small private planes are flying today?
I just was with FAA last week, and the latest census is 165,000.
165,000. Now, if I understand it correctly, there are 5,000 airliners?
No, sir, there are not. The total figure is about 2,600 right now.
Okay.
Of which about 1,900, that's 1,900, are jets. And the rest of them are piston or propeller driven. Uh-huh. And there are a lot of the airplanes in that figure are used in Alaska. Single engine airplanes that are used daylight only, but are carried on the rolls as air carriers.
Of those 2,600?
Yes, sir.
How many military? Or is that classified?
They don't tell me that. We guess there's about 15,000, but we don't know. And they're not all flying at once because the budget's down right now.
You gave me a very interesting figure one time. You said that there was never more than 1% of the airplanes in the air at one time.
Just about. What a lot of people don't understand, Arthur, is that we have about 10,000 airports in this country. And the certificated air carriers, which are referred to by some people as the commercial airlines, only serve 524. But of that 524, there's only about 10 of them where there's any serious congestion problem. Like here in New York, for instance, everybody points to Kennedy Airport and says, well, that's what the big airlines are like, airports are like. And, of course, there's only three or four like this in the country. Kennedy, Newark, of course, LaGuardia gets pretty crowded, as you know. O'Hare in Chicago, Los Angeles, Love Field, Miami, and Atlanta. But when you get away from those, most of the airports are pretty wide open. They don't have many flights. In fact, I have an interesting statistic. I'm working up for the Planning Review Conference, which is coming up this week. And of the 524 airports that the airlines serve, three cities generate one-third of all the passengers in plane in this country. If you add two more cities, so you go to a total of five, they take almost 50% of all the passengers in plane. And 90 airports employ 90% of all the passengers. So the rest of the passengers, the other 10% of the passengers, are spread out over approximately 420 airports. So you see, there's a lot of little airports, a lot of so-called air carrier airports that are really not very busy, maybe one or two flights a day. So the congestion problem is not nearly what the average layman thinks it is. I fly, as you know, as you do, I fly regularly up and down this so-called Northeast Corridor between Boston and Washington, and I can fly sometimes for hours and not see another airplane.
Oh, yes.
And I look, too, because somebody said a mid-air collision can ruin your whole day.
Oh, dear.
I've heard of that.
Give you whiplash at the very least.
Oh, yeah, make your ears ring. You know, it's a funny thing people ask me all the time if I don't think flying is dangerous, because they read the papers, and the papers always have some bad news in them. But I have flown now almost every day since 1954. I've got about 4,500 hours now, instrument rated. My three sons fly. My wife and I have been to coast to coast now 15 times and 113 times to the Bahamas. And we just got back from Cabo San Lucas, and down there we visited with Bing Crosby for a while down in Baja. And all this flying I've done, all of my friends who fly, and at the Flying W Ranch where I first met Arthur, I have never seen anybody hurt in an airplane, except at an air race or an air show. Well, I have never had any of my friends hurt. I've never been involved, and I never even... Well, one time in Charleston, South Carolina, I did have a fence post run out in front of me and hit my wing, but that's the only accident I've ever had or ever seen with me or my family. Yeah, I had a funny thing happen. You hear people talk about an airport being a nuisance and so forth. I took my airplane in one day to be fixed someplace and borrowed the airport operator's car to go get a haircut. And when I came back, I got lost, which is usually what happens to me in a car. So I asked somebody who lived in the corner where the airport was and wound up in an argument with this guy. He said, there's no airport around here. I've lived here for 20 years and there's no airport. And so help me, he lived on a corner of the airport and didn't even know the airport was there. So that goes to show you how little...
He must have been hard of hearing.
No, these airplanes don't...
You didn't ask him for a flying field.
Oh, that's right.
Let me sell some Hershey's chocolate here for a minute. There's a nice strip in Hershey, PA. I put my DC-3 in there one time and mired it down in the mud. And since then, they paved the runway.
That wasn't mud. That was chocolate.
No, that was mud that day. I wouldn't have minded it. Just think of licking those wheels, man, huh? Hershey's bacon chocolate and Hershey's cocoa. They're still as good as they were 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago. Women are baking with them today and getting the same delicious results their mas did. Cakes, pies, cookies, desserts, candy, frostings. They all taste better when you use Hershey's baking chocolate and Hershey's cocoa. You're missing out on it if you don't. Now listen, before I ask this gorgeous thing to sing for us, I gotta tell you about the new pies. You know the old saw about absolutely nobody doesn't like Sara Lee, huh? Well, now they make pies. The best-tasting fruit pies on the market, the closest to being homemade you'll ever have. In fact, I won't hesitate to say it because you know yourself how often this happens. It's better than 99 out of 100 homemade ones. You make them with a lot of love, but oh boy. These pies of Sara Lee's contain the best fruit that money can buy, and lots of it, deep in fruit pies. They have a flaky, tender crust that's unmatched by other frozen pies, just as you would expect from the bakers of Sara Lee. And they bake in a unique black-bottomed pan that delivers even heat distribution over the whole pie, not unbaked sections of crust, as in other frozen pies. And they're made by Sara Lee, the name the consumers trust in frozen bakery products. You know what you do with this, don't you? You take it home and you put it in the oven for just a few minutes, and you come up with something absolutely delicious. A Sara Lee blueberry pie, a Sara Lee cherry pie, a Sara Lee peach pie, or a blackberry pie, or a Sara Lee apple pie. I had one of those not too long ago.
You don't have any Sara Lee on your desk.
No, because they're in the freezer upstairs, and we don't have an oven in the office to cook with, which is just the way it is, you see. The office is just poorly equipped. We just never had an oven to bake a pie in my office. If I ever start out a new career, I'm going to have an office with an oven in it. Come on, Gavin, get over there and sing us a song, will you?
Okay.
This is Kelly Garrett. She can get your mind off of a blonde faster than anybody I know.
Have I don't know.
Like that.
Oh, yeah.
I have one more client for you today. The Schick people who make those marvelous razors that we're so crazy about also make a mist hair curler for Milady. In fact, they call it Lady Schick Mist Hair Curler. No hot metal posts to dry your hair out. Only mist to heat the curlers and add moisture to your hair. So, while Lady Schick is giving your hair what's good for it, you're doing anything you want with it. Make somebody else out of you, perhaps. You gals do that, don't you? You change your hairdo and you're a different person. Well, you might like being two different people. Why don't you try it? A Lady Schick Mist Hair Curler. Frank Kingston Smith, it's been a great pleasure having you with us, sir. To know all about the outfits you represent. I never quite understood before that that's what part of the aviation community you represented, really. The trades should have told me that. Aviation trades, of course.
Yeah, it's a very important part of it.
We have several very fine organizations, sister organizations to this, like the
NBAA. They work very closely together.
Frank Kingston Smith, President, National Aviation Trades Association. If there's ever any little word that you'd like spread around, call on me.
Well, I tell you, you started me in aviation, and so look what happened with me.
You're since 55, huh?
55.
That's 17 years for you.
17 years. I started at Wings Field in Philadelphia, where you've been many times.
Yes, dear old Bob Boswell.
That's right.
You remember him?
I certainly do.
A fellow called me on the horn the other day when I was flying back to Virginia the other night, late at night. It was 10:30. And he heard me checking with Dulles Approach Control for an approach to my little field. And he called on there and says, "Hey, Arthur, you remember Bob Boswell?" I said, "Do I remember him? Who could forget him?" I said, "It's a funny thing. I don't think there's a 30-day period has gone by since his death that somebody hasn't mentioned him to me."
That's right. I was talking about Bob just the other day to Joe Trappi.
Yeah. Joe? Yes, yeah. Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Joe Trappi gave me, as an CAA inspector, my first seaplane rating way back before Columbus's time. I taught old Chris how to navigate. Come again, see us.
Thank you very much, Arthur.
Today's program was edited to comply with time requirements. Today, radio station KSEK in Pittsburgh, Kansas, celebrates its 25th anniversary. Best wishes from the CBS Radio Network.
Sir?
What do you think of when somebody says Howard Johnson's restaurants?
Wait a minute. Fried clams.
Fried clams, huh? Look, what if I told you that every Friday, at all participating Howard Johnson's restaurants, you could get a heaping plate of fried tender sweet clams, French fries, and coleslaw for $1.99.
Oh, that sounds pretty good to me.
Right. Now, supposing every Friday you could also get seconds on the house.
Oh, no kidding. Fried clams, coleslaw, French fries, and seconds on the house, all for only $1.99 every Friday?
That's right.
You know what I think of when somebody says Howard Johnson?
No, what?
I think they're pretty terrific.
Howard Johnson, Howard Johnson. Someone you know wherever you go. Someone you know wherever you go.
Howard Johnson's Restaurants and Motor Lodges. Someone you know wherever you go.
WBEN 930 Radio in Buffalo at 7:30.